Let's real quickly grab our Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. So according to my phone, it's the warning is until 8:15. So maybe I should just preach until then. Should I do that? No one's saying amen. Never mind. Okay, here we go. We're on the backside of the notes. We've gone through, and I know that I went through rapidly all the background material. Hope I didn't create more confusion than help. But a lot of activity in Paul's life previous to this. Very concerned. Remember, persecution had set in, and he had to leave. Wanted to go back, couldn't. Sent Timothy back. Timothy came back not to Athens from where he had been sent, but to Corinth where Paul was at. And God gave him just a great report. Paul's heart was encouraged, all right? So now we come to the volume and value, and this again, this, I've done this a couple times on some of these books where I've combined both of these categories, both the outline and then the spiritual significance of it. So as you can see here on these notes, we've kind of separated things out into chapters, although the last two chapters go together. So chapter one, I love you, all right? I love you is the theme of that chapter, and Paul's heart is just rejoicing. All right? His heart's encouraged because they're following the Lord. So maybe read just a couple verses from this chapter, key verses that would point this out. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, there's his explanation of love, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. He is rejoicing in who they were, what had happened in their life, because he loved them, therefore he prayed for them. And he rejoiced in them, right? So you can see in our notes, therefore he prayed and rejoiced. A believer, there is the practical explanation of this, or maybe the practical application, that's the word, not explanation, application. If you say that you love your brother in Christ, do you, like Paul, pray for them and rejoice in them, and let them know that? Too often in this world, we, especially in our, now I'll be really picky here, but in our staid Midwestern mindset, we often have a tendency to hide our emotions and the reality of our biblical love. It's not that it's not there, it's there, but it's just not proper for me to say those things. No, I would encourage you in a proper way. I mean, we don't have to, I mean, there are some huggers. Thank you for Esther, all right, and all the huggers in the church. That's good. And not necessarily that you have to go around hugging, but your friends here should know that you love them, that you rejoice in them. Try to think of a compliment you can pay them, a real true compliment, when you see them on Sundays or Wednesdays or during the week at Walmart or whatever. And then make it an earnest matter. One of the greatest ministries you can do, just like Paul did, was pray. You pray for your brothers and sisters that you love in the Lord. I would love to pray for all the Christians and all the missionaries all around the world, but God hasn't given those to me to know. But the ones I do know, shame on me when I don't, like Paul, pray for them. And so, I mean, you could read the whole chapter, and I won't because I've preached through this already with you, but that chapter, another one of Paul's prayers recorded in God's Word for God's children, people that he already loved, that he was encouraged. He'd heard that they were growing in the Lord, and yet he's going to continue to pray for them. Paul, if you go through the scriptures, the epistles, and find out everybody that Paul was praying for, that man spent time in prayer daily. His prayer list was not short, it was long, and it kept on growing. Is your prayer, when was the last time you added somebody's name to your prayer list? Good question as a Christian. I should be faithfully, okay, we get new people here at the church, that should go on the prayer list. Or be a part of the buzz book, and you're praying through on a regular basis, those kinds of things. Really important. Okay, chapter 2. So he expresses his love for them, and then, this is the Anderson terms, but don't listen to the bad guys, okay? What do I mean by that? Well, God has called us to pay attention to God's Word and follow God's people. Now, when I'm talking about God's people, I'm talking about those who are obedient to the entirety of Scripture. Again, it really comes back to, often in our circle of fellowship here, and be cautious and careful of listening to the advice of people who aren't following the Scriptures like you are, like we are here. they may be nice people, and they, by the way, and I will put it this way, they can have some great value. I am indebted to several people who no longer are really in our circles, but I'll be eternally indebted to them because of the counsel they gave me. I'll never forget the ministry I had to leave in Pennsylvania, and I needed some outside counsel big time. It was not pretty. And there was a pastor, my first wife's former pastor, and he today is in a broader circle than we are. But Pastor Anderson, S-E-N, was the right man at the right hour for my life and my wife's life. Huge, immense, to give us wisdom and direction to know how to rightly, biblically interact and pull away from the ministry and let the Lord direct our steps another way, all those kinds of things. It was huge. Had I not had him there, I know that I'd have blundered terribly. But that wisdom of years, and he'd been in the ministry for years and years and years and all those kinds of things. Now, I understand that those types of people can be valuable to us, but what Paul says here is be very careful who you're listening to. How does that apply to us today? Well, there is a proliferation of preachers on the internet, on the blogs, on the TV, a multitude of them. Can they be valuable to you? Yes, but be careful, please, all right? Be very careful. Where should you find the vast majority of your preaching material besides church, if you're going to listen to preaching on the road or whatever? Find it among the circle of people that believe God's Word like us. It's so easy to start getting drawn away. Don't forget that anything that's put out on a blog or on the, generally speaking, this is a general rule, blog or, you know, if you go to sermonaudio.com, those kinds of things, those, they don't put up their cruddy messages. They put up their best ones. And it sounds so good. Let me pick on someone, all right? Because I know he has broad shoulders, if I can put it that way, but it's someone that we need to be careful about. John MacArthur. John MacArthur can preach some amazing messages. I own a number of his commentaries. But is John MacArthur a fundamental Baptist that teaches God's Word and has just pastors and deacons in his church and so forth? No. All right, his polity, the way he functions in a church is different, and it will come out in his preaching occasionally. I've seen young men that have, oh, this guy knows how to handle God's Word, and they get enamored with the whole thing, and they leave the moorings of God's Word, frankly, and head into heretical, erroneous teaching. And we need to be careful about that. So, the two verses, and then we'll be done for the night. I'll stop here, because you can probably tell I'm getting into preaching, but this is important for us to know. Verse 13 and 14 of chapter 2. Maybe start verse 11. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. So he had cherished them like a mother does, and then he had challenged and exhorted them like a father does. That's the first part of that chapter is all about his ministry with them. And what was his challenge, verse 12? That ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So God has called us to walk worthy of him, in line with his precepts and commands. Not any in any way becoming ashamed to my heavenly Father. Okay? You know, in a family situation, when a child starts walking away and they become ashamed, just a heartache to parents. All right, I'm not supposed to do that to my God. So what do? Obey His Word. Keep going. Verse 13 now. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God which ye heard of us, so the instrument was Paul and his men that were with him, it was the Word of God. You received it not as the Word of men, which is the truth. Paul wasn't preaching just his own thoughts, his own ideas. He was preaching God's Word. But as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believed. All right, it had evidence that it was the Word of God because of the changed life and so forth. So that's that first part. Rather follow, listen to God's Word. That's 2:13. And now, verse 14, follow God's people. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. And he goes on to explain about persecution. But that first part of verse 14 is critical. I realize this was the beginning days of Christianity and the local church and so forth. But even already there was starting to be false doctrine. And Paul is warning them and he says, you did a right thing in following the right Christians, all right? Not the Jews that were trying to change the doctrine and all those kinds of things. So the thought here is, don't listen to the bad guys. Now, it's a really, to use those terms, paints it in a very stark picture. But let's not forget, if someone is not teaching the whole counsel of the Word of God, he is at least to a degree being used by Satan to pull people away from God's Word. And we need to be careful about that. I beg of you, church, that you would pray that your pastor would always rightly divide the Word of truth for you. That you wouldn't have to divide from your pastor or tell your pastor, wait, you're way off the base. And I need your prayers, because I'm human just like any other human. I need the Spirit of God to work and bring conviction and give me understanding, illuminate my heart as I teach you God's Word. That's really important. And be careful. Follow the churches like us. Why is it that we fellowship with like Windsor Baptist Church? Well, because they're like us. They believe God's Word like us. And I realize that today we've had so many spreads of different flavors, all right? I understand that. Stay close to the people that love God's Word like us. Have good fellowship with them. Let them be your encourager. All right, that's it for tonight. Let's close in a quick word of prayer. Father, thank you for the time to be here tonight. And Lord, help us to love our brethren, and so therefore to pray for them, and to let them know that we love them by words of encouragement, of commendation. And then, Lord, help us to be careful to listen to your word and to listen to those who rightly divide it. May we be very wise and discerning and careful in all the things that we let in. Lord, there's so much of the Word that we need to understand. We don't need to take the time to learn all of the aberrations about it. We just need to know it. So Lord, help us to study your Word well and listen to those who will give it to us straight. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, drive safely. Have a good evening. Stay in fellowship as long as you want. I'm around for a while, but if you run out, I understand. It looks like it's about ready to pour. So